Welcome to an all-new episode of Get Lit with Leanna, the podcast. Join me as I sit down with a new guest author in each episode to discuss their books, careers, and everything in between. Today, I'm sitting down with romance author Carlin Greenwald to chat about her romance book, Sizzle Reel. I was so excited to chat with Carlin about her film background, how she actually managed to turn this book from screenplay into novel, why it was important for her to create a sapphic Jewish romance book, some key moments from this book, and of course, what she's working on next. Without further ado, my conversation with Carlin Greenwald starts right now. Welcome, Carlin, to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. Obviously, I just finished reading your book, Sizzle Reel. So this is like very exciting for me because this book is very much at top of mind. But firstly, welcome. How are you? How are we feeling now that the book, I mean, by the time this is out, the book will be very much live, but how are we feeling in the time leading up to its release?
Honestly, I feel like I have like friends staying in town. So I'm like so distracted trying to get stuff ready for them that I'm like, oh, this isn't happening. Like, I don't know why they're in town. It's for the release. So I'm just like trying to distract myself. It's been like, I picked the strangest things. Like, I think I've been playing the same video game like over and over again for like days straight.
Yeah, well, so that's what fine. They say that like doing like comfort repetitive things is like a way to stay calm. Like I rewatch episodes of Boy Meets World whenever I'm feeling on edge. So like playing the same video game over and over again just like makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're fine. You know, you're fine. It can be worse.
I'm excited. It's so exciting. This is so exciting. So before we get into this book, I would love to know a little bit more about you and your background and like how you even got into publishing. So before we even get to like how you got a pub deal, how did you start writing?
Let's see. I mean, so I've been like a reader all my life, like since I was a little kid. And then I think I started writing. It was like two different origin stories to the starting writing. When I was in fifth grade, we did like a screenwriting contest, which like, I don't know, maybe that's like an LA thing, but they like made all the fifth graders like learn how to write like a short film.
That's so cool.
And so I remember really liking that. And then like a few years later, I think it was like sixth or seventh grade, so maybe that was like a year later, I started writing like fan fiction, which I didn't know was fan fiction at the time, but like basically was doing fan fiction before like I was aware of the fact that like fanfiction.net and whatever was available in the 2000s was that, because I was like a child then. And so I did that. And then in seventh grade, I started writing novels. And I don't know, I just like finished one. And then it was so fun that I just kept doing it for like years after that. And then, yeah, I don't know. And then like, I think I started taking it like seriously, like 2016, when I entered this contest called Pitch Wars, which was like a mentoring contest that was around for a few years. It was like five, some amount of years. It's not a thing anymore, but it was. And I didn't end up, it was like for an agent. I didn't end up getting an agent out of that, but like it kind of put me aligned to like what it takes to hopefully get an agent and like actually take publishing seriously. And then, you know, got the agent 2018, book didn't sell. I think one book didn't sell. Got another agent in 2019. Like my agent left agenting. I got a new agent at the agency. And then we tried to sell another book. And then that one didn't sell. But I was like, hey, to my agent, like, I have this rom-com because I've been writing thrillers before that. I was like, do you want to just, like, try this out? And she was like, sure, let's do it. And then, like a month. So we did one exclusive. It didn't sell. And then went on wide sub. And then I think a month later, we got an offer. So it was, wow. I guess we go 2016 to 2021. Yeah, it was a while.
Crazy. So all of those thrillers you were writing before, like, will they ever see the light of day?
I hope so. I mean, it seems like my pub right now is like interested in wider genre. I can't quote them on that. We'll see. Yeah. And then I'm trying to sell a YA thriller. Like that was kind of my bread and butter for years. And I'm like, I know it didn't work a few times, so I'm going to keep like working at it. Yeah. You know, it's a game, right? You just keep playing until something ends up aligning. So hopefully one day.
Yeah, I can't imagine being able to like write thrillers and write like rom-coms. Like to me, they are so different and like use two completely different parts of a brain. Do you find one easier to write than the other? Like when you made that leap, was it hard for you to start writing in like the rom-com way?
I guess so. Like writing the love story wasn't as hard because you always have like subplots, right? I'd usually have a romantic subplots. Like the the yearning and the sexual tension and all that, that kind of made sense to me. But what didn't make sense to me, like what I had to learn, was like tonal shift, where it's like, in a larger sense, like you don't, you know, it's not supposed to be sad. It, like, that's not the overall tone. And so it's like, okay, what emotions are you bringing into the piece? And then it can come down to like prose of like, what stories would this character bring up to illustrate a point? It's like, in a thriller, they might bring up like a family death or something, but in a rom-com, like, you can't really do that every like 10 pages or it like totally shifts the tone. So it was definitely just like, on a line level, really figuring out like, okay, what is a rom-com? How am I going to keep like that? Like, you know, you're trying to appeal to that audience, like a whole new audience. Like, what do they like? What would be interesting for them?
Yeah.
And just making sure like the readers are first, right. And, you know, to the extent that obviously you do what makes you happy, but yeah, it's definitely just like trying to learn a whole new world for sure.
That's really wild. So how did this story in particular come to you? Like, what was the genesis of this, or what was like the nugget idea that started it all?
Yeah. I mean, so I worked in Hollywood. I went to USC. I technically did an English degree, but like I was in the film program too. Like, you could kind of cross-pollinate there. And so I did a lot of film internships, I think probably for like 3 or 4 years in undergrad. And then I thought that I wanted to be a screenwriter. So I was doing like film internships where you work for production companies, you work for managers. So I was doing this one terrible job out of undergrad where like I was an intern at first, and then I graduated and like this person fired her assistant and was like, you're going to be the assistant now, but I'm not going to pay you. You're still my intern. And so I was like waiting for like half a year for her to get me like a real job at one of the Hollywood agencies, and like never happened. And so eventually I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm not being paid. I need to move on with my life. And so but along the way, we had a client who was in Crazy Rich Asians. So I got to see that premiere, like, as one of the last things I did there. And it was just so inspiring to see sort of that renaissance of rom-coms. And I was like, oh, wow, like, that's kind of amazing. Like, I do really want to see, like, I want to dig more into the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I ended up doing was taking my experience of like, okay, I'm a mess right now. This is all my life and like identity and whatever kind of issues. Let's make that into a rom-com. Why not? And I wrote it as a script. And then my writer friend, Rachel Lynn Solomon, was like, that's like, write it as a book. And I'm like, okay, like, I've never written a rom-com before. I'm still trying to write all these thrillers, but like, okay.
Yeah.
So I wrote it in 10 days.
Wait,
I know.
No, then, wait. You adapted it from a screenplay into a novel in 10 days.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is insanity. And like, I also come from a filmy background, so I know how like majorly different a script is versus a novel. I can't imagine like that undertaking and doing it in that short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. I think it was like the voice had, there was like one paragraph, and since you've read the book, it was the one where like Luna was talking about like how difficult it is to get a job in Hollywood because like there's no clear path. And it was that paragraph that hit me first. And I was like, okay, like I see her voice now.
Right.
Let's go for it. I didn't need to do it in 10 days. It was just like, I didn't have
it was word vomit
at that time. So
you had a little bit of time on your hands.
Yeah, you know. So I got it done, and it was just like, okay, wow, like I have this novel. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it came to be. And then I set it aside for like a year because I was with this new agent and we were like, do you want to do another thriller that I already had written, or do you want to do this rom-com? And I was like, I don't know about this rom-com. I'm going to leave it for a little bit and try this other book. And so it was after that died on sub, then like we did the other one. But yeah, no, it's been through a lot.
That's a crazy trajectory. So from like conception, I guess, until now, like how long has this process been? Like years, no?
Yeah, I think I wrote it, I should know this, but I wrote it in, so I wrote the script in May 2019 and then the book in August 2019.
Wow. So, okay. Yeah. So I have to just ask, like, how much does the book differ from the script that you wrote?
Well, so at first, the thing is, I keep revising the script when I make changes to the book. So like, it's pretty close right now.
That's crazy.
Because I'm just like, you don't know.
No, I was going to say to you, no, Carlin, I was literally going to say to you, like, that's a genius thing to do, because if this story is, first of all, it's so like visual, obviously, because you have like that filmmaker background, like it's so visually written that like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was interest in developing this. And now that you have at least something that is so close to the actual book is amazing. That's a genius idea to like kind of amend it as you're updating or building out the book.
Yeah. And the interesting thing was, so that's why there are those like montage sequences, because I had liked them. They were originally like straightforward montages. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to, like, I want to keep this. This was sort of like the most interesting visual elements of the book. So I was like, okay, how do I do this?
Yeah.
So I kind of just like lifted those. And then I think what ended up happening was everything that is in the script is in the book.
Okay.
But there are scenes in the book that are not in the script, because obviously like you have a time limit and rom-coms tend to be a little bit shorter. So like, I think the wing scene isn't in the script.
Okay.
I think there's like a couple like random scenes that like, it's all character work. You could probably you could put one in a script and people will get the idea. But yeah, I mean, it's very similar.
Wow.
I haven't read in a long time though. So
you haven't read in a long time?
Again. I haven't read the script in so long. So
okay.
Or the book. No, I read the book once this year for Third Pass Pages.
So crazy.
It's good.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited. But this book obviously touches upon so many different topics, but I love that it's a Jewish sapphic story. And I'd love to know about like your decision to go down that route, because obviously there's just a thirst for both of those types of books, especially now in like this boom of romance books that we're noticing. Why tie those two things together? And how did you manage to execute both of them so well?
Oh, I mean, it's so funny because like, I feel like at this point, I don't really think, but I'm Jewish. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, why not? Like, it's just funny. You're just like, I guess so.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, there's the very interesting thing, especially when you're talking about Hollywood. And it's still true with kind of with books too, where it's like, Jewish people make they sort of make up the industry, or at least that's the perception.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so little actual stories of Jewish characters, especially when it comes to like genre, where, think of the last time you saw like a Jewish main character in any kind of genre of stuff. So I was just like, you know what? This is my experience. Like, it's not that hard to write. Like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then it adds to the representation. And maybe that will mean something to someone
100%.
Outside of me, which
100%.
Why would you never want to do that?
No, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, and then in terms of the actual book, it's just interesting because I am pretty secular. I'm half Jewish. So like, we were raised Jewish, but technically my mom's Catholic. So mm-hmm. I'm like not a real Jew. But you know.
I mean, under the eyes of like the Jewish religion, I guess not, but like, it's fine.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I did more Judaism than some people I know that are like full. So you know what?
Okay, fair. Whatever. But, we don't judge.
No, it's just funny. But growing up, I like now I'm still pretty secular. So when I write characters, I'm like, wait, what would be included here? Like,
no.
What would make a character Jewish? Where you're like, because you want it to be natural, right? Like,
yeah.
You want it to just be like, you're not going to make some random reference to something that like wouldn't apply. So I'm just like, okay, like, how would someone moving through like this story, like, mm-hmm. how would the Judaism affect them? And so I think in this case, it mostly came down to like, again, reflections on Hollywood. Cause again, like, it's a thing. Like, you
it's
could be Jewish and they're like, oh, that's not diversity.
Yeah.
And it's especially true in Hollywood. Cause again, they're like surrounded by a bunch of Jewish producers
mm-hmm.
who I guess don't want their culture in their movies. I don't know what they're doing. But. And then I guess like the dating things, I think that's still like it's so prevalent to be like, oh yeah, like even my Catholic mom wants me to date a Jewish guy, which is just funny. Like,
it's so true.
It's such a thing.
It's such a thing.
It's kind
line.
Of, you know, it's fairly innocuous. So I'm just like, yeah, that's a thing that the Jewish parents want.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to fit like little things that are natural. And I always think I'm underdoing it. So like, you're saying it's good. Like, thank God.
No, it was like done so tastefully and so tactfully. And it wasn't done in a way that was like overly like shoving it down anyone's throat. It was more so like, this is just another like aspect of like Luna's character, and it's just like another part of her, you know, like it was rather it being than like an educational lesson in Judaism, it was just like another part of a character, which I really appreciated. But I would love to first, before we even go further, mm-hmm. I'm sure this is like not the most fun thing for anyone to do. Every time I ask an author to do it, they're like, please God, no. But if you could just provide those listening with a little synopsis of your book, mm-hmm. just so we can like dive a bit more into some of the story and plot lines without being totally out there and not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. So Sizzle Reel is a queer adult rom-com. It's about a 24-year-old talent manager's assistant who realizes she's bi, again, in like her early to mid-20s, and is like, I need to go make up for lost time by like having an experience with a woman. So she decides to try to pursue this like ambiguously gay actress client who like she's been seeing around the office. And yeah, and then just like shenanigans ensue. It's yeah, it's kind of, it's kind of a love triangle. It's kind of, what else is it? Yeah, I mean,
no, it's like a workplace romance love triangle. There's so many fun tropes. And that's actually one of the first things I wanted to ask you about. When you came up with this idea, did you kind of have the idea of the love triangle? And what's so interesting is that the love triangle aspect doesn't come out until so deep into the story. Like, tell me about that decision.
I mean, the story is so bizarre. So when I had originally written the screenplay, I was like, I think my initial thought was that, oh, it's not going to be a romance. So I was like just going to do Luna and Val and have it end the way it does without there being anything. And then I was like getting toward the end and I'm like, I don't want this. Like, why am I doing this? So in the first draft, Romy is kind of shoehorned in. And then I was like, okay, no, now we have to make it good. So like draft after draft after draft, I was developing their storyline. And I remember it was like this one YA novel called Hot Dog Girl by Jennifer Dugan. Okay. Did a similar structure with the love triangle of like it came in later. And I was like, I really like this. Like, I liked the almost twist of it. And as we know, as a thriller writer, I love a twist.
Yes.
So
that is on brand.
But like over time, we tried to make it more obvious just because, again, it's like a thriller audience would like to have a twist that comes out of seemingly nowhere. But I'm like, oh, the romance audience, like, I think I should make this very clear. It's a love triangle.
Yeah.
Is it clear? I don't know. You know, up to the reader.
Exactly. Like, I feel I really only caught on at like 60% through, but I feel like that was the intention. Like, it was kind of, we were following Luna's trajectory also and her navigating this type of relationship and also navigating these friendships and kind of trying to understand like where she was going also. So it felt very intentional, but it definitely like, I was shook. I didn't see it coming, which is obviously credit to the thriller writer in you.
Yeah.
But one of the really topical points of this story that kind of gets brought up a few times, and I've seen a lot of chatter about it online, is the whole like public outing aspect of this book. And I know some people feel like people have very strong opinions on choosing to have this added element to the story. Why was that something you wanted to include?
I mean, it's to some extent, like, I think that it can be this huge traumatic moment for people, but it's also just a reality that sometimes you just like randomly get outed in like really weird, like low-key situations. And I was just like, you know what? I kind of wanted that represented just like to get across the like various levels of just discomfort that come from coming out that isn't necessarily like, you know, your family sends you to conversion camp or like your school finds out that you're gay or whatever. Like just these little moments of like smaller scale, like it is still a trauma, but it's like you kind of have to keep going. And just, I don't know, I think I just wanted to have her go through like a couple little traumas just to show in the end, like she's still happy in the end. Like she still went through these, but yeah, like I said, traumatic moments.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, again, this is low key, this has happened to me before in like several times in my life. And it, you just at some point you just have to laugh. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why so-and-so thought to just bring that up, but they did. And I can't like stay mad at them forever.
No, of course.
But like, I kind of just wanted to play with the idea of like, it's not necessarily always a malicious thing. Sometimes people, like the information just doesn't come across between people. It happens. How do you survive that? You know?
Yes, yes, yes. And I thought that was like articulated so well on the page and how like Luna's able to overcome it and how she's able to forgive and move on is also like a credit, I think, to your own experience, but also like the way you're able to execute that on the page, which is obviously like really wonderful. But what I also loved about this book, being a diehard romance reader, I loved like the steam and the sex scenes that you were able to write on the page. Was that an awkward thing to do, especially being like a thriller writer? This is, I imagine, something you didn't really consider that you were going to be doing much, being a thriller, having a thriller background. So what was that experience like?
I mean, the funny thing is, like, while I was writing all the thrillers, I also, like, have dabbled in fan fiction over the years. So, right. like, I was already doing this for years, like, okay. in just weird genre fandom. So, like, the actual process wasn't that weird for me. And then sort of on top of that, like, you go to film school and you're like, my dream is to work in, like, a premium cable or, like, a streaming. So you kind right. of are like, okay, sex has to be a part of this, like, fair. Whatever genre it is.
God fair, knows, fair.
It's in every single genre. So I was like, okay, I like know how to do this from the fanfic. And then when it came, but it was fun. I mean, like, it's so different because I had been writing like YA thrillers and YA contemporary for that. And it's like, I've been trying to push the limits with that. And okay. I would always just be like, you know, I'm just going to make this as, you know, open door is like, it's probably not the right term. There's a term for it.
No, open door. You know, open door
like
totally.
YA, but you know. Whatever yeah. the term is for YA that you're allowed to use for like how, maybe how detailed it is. I'd always been trying to push the limits of that. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, my agent can tell me if it's bad. They right. have to pull it back. But with this, it was like, oh, I could just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. Like, so that's it just so felt like being able to take something that was sort of this isolated skill that again, would only apply to fanfic and just be like, okay, now I can write fanfic about my own characters. Mm-hmm. But then it goes in the book.
Right.
Like, that was cool. I did so like that a lot.
That's so fun. So what are you working on next? Like, are you staying in the story world? Are you considering it? I know so many people are like die hard wanting more info and like specifically people want like a Val story. I know I've seen so much of that online. So I'm just wondering where your head's at, if you've thought of it.
So we do have a book two. We haven't released any sort okay. of like details about it, but like wink, wink, nudge, nudge to yeah. whoever's interested in. Yeah. staying in this universe, it's probably the character you think it is most obvious to be. But yeah, so I definitely, book two is going to be another rom-com. And then beyond that, like, I don't know.
Maybe more thrillers. Maybe more thrillers.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Well, before we wrap this up, I just have one other question. And it's actually about the book cover, because it's actually mm-hmm. stunning, and I see it behind you, and I actually don't have my copy here because I'm currently out of town recording this, but I just need to know like the artistic direction in creating the cover and if you were involved at all or how the whole concept came to be, because it's so pretty.
I mean, I try to think, I think it was like at first they were like, just like throw some covers at us that you really like, and one of the covers was I can't remember any names right now, but
no problem.
Maria Nguyen, like, did, like, who the cover artist for my book did one of these rom-com covers. And again, I cannot think of the name, but it was another celebrity romance book.
Okay.
We'll find it eventually.
No worries.
But yeah, I mean, so I just put in all these different covers. Like, again, Rachel and Solomon, I get put all the covers in.
I love her.
And then they were down to two artists. And again, I picked Maria because, okay. like, I was just like, wow, like, this is one of my favorite covers. Like, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Wow, you want to work on my book? And then after that, they sent me cover sketches. There were like five different concepts. Like there was one where it was Luna and Romy in the cave they talk about. So it was kind of like a little bit less, I don't know like what style. It'd be like more focused on the background than okay. people. There were a couple different positions that like had all three characters in them. And so in the end, we picked one of the ones that had all three in them. And then it was between one that was sort of more like a blank background and one that had a like cityscape background.
Yeah.
And I actually made them take the cityscape background and put it into the blank background because one of them was like the positioning of the characters looked okay. better to me. And then so it ended up, I think I was like, okay, for the blank background, just make it a film lot. Like it can be kind mm-hmm. of simple and. But I just don't like when characters are in space. So I was like, please.
Yeah.
Please
yeah,
put them
you.
Somewhere for me.
Yeah.
And then I truly thought it was just going to be in like regular color. And then I get the art and it's like this Technicolor, like bright.
So cool.
And it was just like, oh my God. Like this is so beyond what I could have ever come up with. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's stunning. Everyone I know like that is starting to get their copies of it or freaking out over how stunning it looks on shelves. And it's just like, it's a gorgeous book. So I had to ask about
yeah.
your artistic direction because it's beautiful.
Yeah. So Madeline Partner and Maria Nguyen, like, gosh,
nailed it.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So exciting. So now that this book is going to be out in the universe, I just need to know if you've given any consideration to fan casting this book, if you have any ideas of who you would want Luna, Val, and Romy to be.
So the problem is right now I cannot think of any actors' names, but for Val, like, I did write this during my Brie Larson era, so I'd always thought of Brie Larson as Val.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was, like, that's been there since the beginning.
Okay.
And I cannot remember any actors' names for the other ones.
It's all good.
Like, I was like, the person who was in
this. I love this.
I give that level.
Yeah.
But I'm open to them. But no, like, the Val part was so specific in my mind. Like, I literally watched, like, Brie Larson interviews to, like, get mannerisms and, like, visuals. So, like, that was, I try to get, like, those guys, the love interest, have to be really well rendered. So I'm like, okay, I need a fan cast. And then I need to, like, really know that person.
Yeah.
To at least give some realistic details there. So
that's so fun. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. This was so much fun. I really loved getting to chat with you, and I love this book, and good luck on the release. I'm sure everyone else is going to love it. And this is just the beginning.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so great.
Pleasure.